Welcome to Day Church. We're so glad that you can be with us, and we're so glad to be here. I'm especially glad to be here because just about 6 weeks ago, I was coming out to my car and expecting to go buy my wife some nice new furniture for our outside, and all of a sudden, something happened to me that I never dreamed in my life would ever happen. I wasn't able to talk. And my whole right side went completely numb. And the next thing I know, I was in an ambulance heading to the hospital. I had had a major stroke. And as I got there, really, there was only one thing on my mind, and that was I wanted to be really pleasing to Jesus in this experience. And it was interesting because as we were there and as the people were working with me and on me, all I could think about was how good God was, how wonderful Jesus was. I had no fear. I was simply in his presence. The greatest fear I had, which Jesus and I were talking about while I was there, was that I was concerned that I'd end up being disabled for the rest of my life, and I didn't really like that idea, especially for my bride or for my family. But it was interesting, but as I was just continuing to say, okay, Jesus, you're the one who is here with me, and he was so with me, I just could finally say, okay, even that, if that's your plan for my life, then I will accept that. The wonderful thing was that wasn't his plan for my life. Within only a space of an hour, the doctors had done some major surgery on me and pulled the blood clot out of my brain, and I was able to speak as well as I ever have and able to feel my body again. It was an absolute miracle. It was also interesting that during that experience, I had three words that I actually kept. I couldn't say anything else. I mean, what came out was just gibberish. But I could say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What great words those are. Thank you, Jesus. What awesome words, because that's the truth. In whatever circumstance we are, no matter how difficult, how horrible, how life-changing, how life-altering, if we can just simply thank Jesus, he can do such wonderful miracles for us, and he has. So I stand before you today in such gratitude for Jesus Christ and for what he's done for my life. Today I want to talk about Life Giver. It's Mother's Day, and we're so glad that all you moms are joining with us. I want to read from Genesis 2:18 to the end of that chapter. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and read it with me. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man, that is Adam, the first man that was created, to be alone. I will make for him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called the living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. Every guy in the world, I think, is right now saying, thank God that he did that. This is really cool. This is really wonderful. A life with only men in the world would be very, very boring. I am so grateful that God did this. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The word Eve in Hebrew is Chava. It literally means life giver, one who enlivens or gives life. It can be translated life in itself, but primarily in this situation, I'm sure that God meant for her name to be Life Giver. I love that name. It's so beautiful in the myriads of ways it describes God's final masterpiece. It's the final masterpiece in creation, a woman. He created her last, and what a masterpiece it was. I've lived long enough and observed enough women and mothers and preached enough Mother's Day sermons to know that there is a lot of joy, but also a lot of pain associated with Mother's Day. Please forgive me if in sharing the beautiful design that God intended, if I arouse painful emotions. Some of us have walked through many sorrows concerning motherhood. Not all of us have had wonderful mothers. Some of us did have wonderful mothers, but have now lost them. Some here desperately desire or have desired to be a mother, but could not. Some have lost their children. Some have struggled in their identity as a mother. My prayer and hope is that as we consider God's original intention, those of us who are grieving any of these things will experience the healing and the comforting touch of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He loves you and wants to comfort your broken heart. We are praying with you for this. God chose the first life giver to be a woman. She would give life to all of humanity. Every person here and there online is living because a woman gave them life. That is common for all of us. We have a lot of differences, but every single one of us, whether she's with us or not, had a mom, and she brought us into the world and gave us life. This gift is the second most precious gift ever given to us. The first gift is God's gift of his son Jesus to give us a new birth and a new life. Every woman here is a life giver, not only in your ability to bear children, but in every aspect of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Before she was a life giver to children, Eve was a life giver to Adam. Far more than a partner in sexual activity, God's chosen spouse for Adam was literally his opposite side or completion or counterpart. The words other half don't accurately describe who Eve was to Adam. Eve was not like the hearts that we cut out on Valentine's Day from folded pieces of paper and in red or pink, which make two identical sides. She was created from Adam's body and yet shared his life, and yet she was very, very different. The Hebrew literally says she was one called alongside, standing face to face to help. One called alongside to help, standing face to face. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful picture. She stood face to face with him as an equal partner in their co-regency of all that God had made. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The man and the woman together completed the revelation of the shared image of God they were created in. Each one bore something of the revelation of God, and together they completed that revelation. God's unique, intentional, and prophetic placing of his own image in a woman was his creating her as one called alongside to help. It is not coincidental that the New Testament description of the Holy Spirit is Parakletos, one called alongside to help. That word in Greek is the exact same word that God used for the woman in Genesis. One called alongside to help. John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, parakletos, one called alongside to help, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Parakletos, one called alongside to help, or comforter, advocate, or intercessor. The first woman, and every woman since, was and are created intentionally and prophetically to reveal the image of God found in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? God specifically chose women to demonstrate the power, the grace, the ability, the comfort, the presence of the Holy Spirit as one called alongside to help. A woman and the Holy Spirit are personal, relational beings who are called alongside to help others fulfill God's destiny for their life. Women give birth, listen to this, this is so cool. Women give birth to new human beings. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual beings. Isn't that amazing? God just set this design so clear. I can't tell you how exciting it is for me to see this in Scripture. Women comfort, nurture, and bring to maturity those new human beings that come out of their body. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He comforts, nurtures, and brings to maturity those new spiritual beings that he creates. Women are intentionally and prophetically designed to physically represent the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as parakletos, one called alongside to help. Before Eve was created and brought to Adam, there was this deep chasm in his soul. Nothing, not even God, could fill it. God knew of this desperate loneliness inside of Adam because he had put an Eve, Eve-shaped hole inside of him. God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone," in Genesis 2:18. I myself have felt this desperate loneliness. I, like Adam, have tried all kinds of things to fill that deep chasm inside of me. Nothing ever filled it, not even Jesus, though Jesus made it bearable. Then one day, a young woman I had met a year earlier in Jerusalem kissed me on the cheek, and the whole universe changed. The carry-shaped hole in my heart was filled, and my longing ceased. I could never overstate that she was a life giver to me. June 18th of this year, I will have been with her for 48 years. I've watched her birth, nurture, educate, and continue loving 7 children into their adulthood. I've seen the awesome power of a great mother in her, not perfect, but amazing beyond words.
I am a blessed woman. So as Leonard was preparing this message this week, of course, I get my input too, right? And he was sharing his message, and I was praying for him and just thinking along the lines of what he had to share. And the words that really sprang out at me was Chava, life giver. And you know, I began to think about myself. Am I a life giver? Who in my life has been a life giver to me? And I started to have some wonderful, wonderful thoughts of people in my life. And I thought this morning, just to encourage you out there, that I wanted to share some of the people that have been in my life who've made such a difference. When I was a little girl, a little immigrant girl, going to the public school just down the street, there was a grade 3 teacher who was a believer, and she taught the 4 of us kids. And as my mother began to go for teacher interviews, this woman began to really reach out to my mom. And my mom was really looking for God. And she called my mom and said, "Would you like to come to my class at noon? And we could talk more about that." And she began to read the Bible with my mother and to pray for her and to really lead her into a deeper relationship with God. And I began to see a change in my mother. And we started to go to a church on Sunday nights, my mom and I. And I just loved going there because they were singing and clapping and worshiping God and sharing stories about what God had done in their lives. And my heart was just warmed. And I know now that was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he was calling me. Well, this lady had a call to go to Africa as a missionary. She became the headmistress of a girls' boarding school in Kenya. And she began to educate and impart her faith to hundreds of Kenyan girls. And I remember at one point, I asked her, "Did you never want to get married and have a family?" And she said to me, "You know, I think God had something very special for me in giving me all these girls." And that really started me thinking about the path that God has for us as women. It's not all the same, is it? And one day, an older African chief brought a newborn baby. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you this. Because she was single and had no extended family, we called her Aunt June. And she was in our lives for 50 years, like a real aunt. This African chief brought a newborn baby to Aunt June. And he said, "I would like you to be her mom." Well, there she was. She was the headmistress, had a very busy life. But she took this little girl on, and some of the girls in the boarding school would braid her hair and see that she had her meals. And Aunt June, of course, took care of her in the evenings. And that little girl is now a pastor's wife in Canada. Aunt June also adopted another girl, an older girl, who still lives in Africa. And she is a pastor's wife, has a number of children, and it's really being a huge blessing. Through Aunt June's life, my own mother found a life-changing faith in God. That faith was imparted to me at the age of 18. I took a little step at the time. I just thought, I really want this. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm going to take that step. And you know, that was probably the most important step of my entire life. And I'm so glad because it changed the course of my whole life. The second most important decision was this lovely man. So, each of us as women are called to be life givers. Wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, it is our God-given destiny, and one that God has strategically and from the beginning of time already prepared for us. He has given us a unique heart. He's placed that within us for the fulfillment of his purposes. So I would like to really encourage you today to look for that. When I was a little girl, I remember cutting out pictures out of the newspaper. It was called Today's Child. And they were children that were available for adoption. Usually it was maybe a group of two or three children who had lost their parents. And I would cut the picture out and I would say, "Mom, can we adopt these kids?" I don't think I think my mom had her hands pretty full. So anyway, but looking back now, I have to say, I see that God's unique heart for children was in me even then, because that was my career. And of course, when I married and we have our 7 children and we have 3 little ones in heaven that someday I hope to meet again, you know, I just see that that was a part of what God has for me. But he may not have that for every woman. But every woman is called to be a life giver. And God has a unique way of expressing that through the gifts and talents that he's entrusted to each of us. And they're all different. So as Aunt June imparted that life to my mother, I want to share with you that when she was in her 90s, she was handicapped. She couldn't walk very far. She couldn't hear very well. She was still writing notes of encouragement. I found her prayer journal at one point, and there were lists, hundreds and hundreds of prayers for people who would mention to her, "Will you pray for this?" And she had checked them off, all the answered prayers over the years. She had written notes and really made those. And she would often ask people, "Well, how is this coming along? Has your husband gotten his job yet? And I'm still praying." And you know, just so many wonderful things. But she was very limited physically. But you know, we serve a God who is not limited at all, not even a little. And he will use whatever you give, he will use to glorify himself. She had a little Bible study in her home, and she was in a senior's home. So one by one, the seniors would pass away, and she'd invite someone else. And, you know, it was her ministry. Even as she was passing away herself, she said to me, "You know, I am going, but I would still like to help you more with Esmeralda, our little granddaughter." She said, "I'd like to still be a helper." You know, that was God's heart that he had placed in her. That she didn't see the limitations. She just was expressing that heart. And that is the heart that he's given to every woman who will embrace it and say, "Yes, no matter what, I'm going to take that step." So I want to challenge you today. Can you ask the Holy Spirit where you are meant to be a life giver? A friend of mine just 2 days ago said, "You know, a serviceman came to my door, and I wasn't sure whether I could let him in. But, well, after a little bit of discussion, yes, I decided I'd let him in and look at my broken fridge." And she said, "You know, one thing led to another." And she said, he shared with me that his 3-week-old child, their first child, had just passed away because of a mistake that had been made in his care. And she said, "You know, I asked him, would it be okay if I just prayed for you?" And he said, "I would love that." Anyway, so she and her husband prayed for this young man. You know, he went out the door and he was just so blessed and just felt so encouraged. And she was a life giver. God brought that man to her door. And you know, God still does things like that. He does. He lets people call us. He lets people in some way express a need that we can respond to. And so today, let's ask the Holy Spirit to really show us how we can be life givers. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, as wonderful as it was having the carry-shaped hole in my heart filled, the first hole in my heart that had to be filled before I could even live at all was the God-shaped hole. It was the Holy Spirit that filled that hole when I first met Jesus when I was 17 years old. The Holy Spirit, in whose image women are primarily created, is the ultimate life giver. God's image expressed in Eve and her daughters was also intentional and prophetic to show God's unfailing and unending love. To be loved and to love is the most wonderful experience of life. The problem is for all of us, whether we are male or female, no matter what racial background or family background is, the problem is for all of us is that we are born without that connection with the loving God. And what cures that problem? The only way a woman can fully be a life giver, the only way a man can fully be the one who rules in his world and brings forth the grace of Jesus Christ as one who is an authority, the only way that we can fulfill our lives in God is to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, to open our hearts and to receive him, to give him place in our life, and to begin with a covenant with him to let him be our God, to let him be the one who we depend on all of our lives. Today, moms, to be a great mom, you start with being a great follower of Jesus Christ. If you've never opened your hearts to the Lord, if you've never had an experience in your life of giving yourself completely to Jesus Christ, I challenge you today, give your life to God. It is the way that life will come forth from your life, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. And it will be the fulfillment of your life and his life in you. You in that way will be a life giver when you receive by the Holy Spirit the life giver, Jesus Christ. Amen.